remarkable scenes last night. The Deputy First Minister joined in a toast to the Queen. It happened as God Save the Queen played during a state banquet for the Irish President Michael D. Higgins. It was a huge move for the one-time IRA leader and would have been unthinkable until recently. Martin McGuinness later told Newsnight's Jeremy Paxman he was happy to observe the protocols.
Well, obviously, given the history of the last several decades, I think we've effectively transformed both the political and the security situation. And here we are in the midst of what is an historic visit by the President of Ireland, the first visit in almost 100 years to Britain. I was invited to come along. Decisions, decisions. Mm. It was either yes or no. And I felt that in the context of the whole process of conflict resolution and reconciliation. Yeah. And given that I had met with Queen Elizabeth almost 2 years ago in Belfast, and we shook hands, which in itself was an act of reconciliation, because I have many reasons why I shouldn't meet with Queen Elizabeth, but she too has many reasons why she shouldn't meet with me, but we both thought it was an important thing to do.
Martin McGuinness made it clear the decision to attend the dinner was a major one for the Sinn Féin leadership. But would grassroots Republicans see it as a sellout?
The important thing is that the people who elect me don't believe that I've sold out. I stand in a constituency which is one of the most Republican nationalist constituencies in the whole of Ireland. The Mid Ulster constituency, made up of South Derry and East Tyrone. People who are very proud Irish people, very fond of Gaelic football, the Irish language, traditional Irish music. And they've come with me on a journey. When I first stood in the constituency in 1997, many people thought that it was impossible for me to take the Reverend William McCrae's seat because several attempts had been made and it had failed. But my message to the electorate was that I believed that Tony Blair was going to be elected as the next British Prime Minister, that I believed that there would be a peace process, that there would be meaningful negotiations. And I asked people to support peace. And in every election that I have fought in that constituency, my mandate has increased because people want peace. I actually think that the vast majority of people are miles ahead even of some of the most negative politicians that are out there.
Victor Barker, whose 12-year-old son James was killed in the Omagh bomb, protested outside Windsor Castle last night. Victor, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. The Daily Mail are running the photograph of you front page today, Victor, and they have taken a picture of Martin McGuinness in his white tie and his suit ready to meet the Queen in all of those glorious circumstances in Windsor Castle, glorious surroundings is what I mean, in Windsor Castle. And they there's a juxtaposition with your picture of you standing outside with a placard in which you have written, "A terrorist in a white tie and tails is still a terrorist. Martin McGuinness, time to tell the truth."
Yes.
Would you like to elaborate on what you mean and how you feel about what he did? Because he would say this is his journey to trying to establish peace for everyone in Northern Ireland.
Absolutely, and I have no issue with that whatsoever. And I've always said to Martin McGuinness that I have applauded the efforts he's made to bring peace and to bring reconciliation to the people of Ireland. But by the same token, if Martin McGuinness wants to convince us that he is now embarked on a democratic journey, I think that he does have to complete that journey and face up to the very stark reality of what he did prior to the Good Friday Agreement, to acknowledge and admit his past in various deeds, including, for example, what happened to Patsy Gillespie in Derry, and to acknowledge and make an appropriate apology to the people who he so deeply offended.
What difference would that make, Victor?
I think it would make an enormous difference. There are thousands of people in Ireland that have suffered as a result of the Troubles. I am just one of thousands. The vast majority of whom, we have to say, have been victims of IRA violence. And I think it's incredibly important for people to be able to deal with the past, to know the truth about what happened, and to receive an apology from the people who, if they are now committed to a democratic process, ought to have the good faith to the electorate as well to admit their past, to accept the responsibility for it, if necessary in the context of an amnesty, because I understand that one of the reasons why, for example, a politician wouldn't want to admit a crime would be that he might be in prison for it. But I think it's a vitally important part of bringing the whole process to a conclusion.
But you could argue, I guess, Victor, that beyond the words of an apology, beyond the words of anyone saying sorry, for Martin McGuinness to try to ensure that peace is established in Northern Ireland, you know, for example, it was the real IRA who claimed responsibility for the Omagh bomb. Those would be the people who Martin McGuinness described as traitors to Ireland. So you could argue that what he is actually saying and doing goes well beyond saying sorry.
We have to understand that the people involved in the Omagh bomb were former colleagues of Martin McGuinness and Gerry Adams. They were former members of the IRA. One of them was the quartermaster of the IRA. Where do you think that they got all the weapons and ammunition they needed to continue a terrorist campaign from? There must be intimate knowledge within the Republican movement of the people that were involved in the Omagh bomb, information which could be given to the police, which they have consistently refused to do, and until recently have only just begun to condemn as traitors. And that was a very recent statement by Martin McGuinness. Back in the early days of the investigation, there was no indication of Adams or McGuinness wanting people to cooperate with the police. It's only now that the investigation has drawn to a complete impasse that they miraculously appear to have taken this stance.
How did you feel in your heart last night when you see Martin McGuinness, former commander of the IRA, but now Deputy First Minister, as a dignitary at Windsor Castle?
Well, I was born in Windsor. It's my hometown. I have a great affinity for everything in that area, for the castle. I used to sing as a boy in St. George's Chapel. Yes, it was a difficult feeling for me, but I have to accept, and I always have done, that Martin is a democratically elected member of the Assembly. He's the Deputy First Minister, and for that reason, he ought to be given respect. My respect, actually, was with members of the royal family who had to embark on that journey to invite Martin McGuinness, despite the huge trauma they've suffered when Lord Louis Mountbatten was murdered by the IRA. And I have enormous respect for them. But I think in the case of Mr. McGuinness, he has to complete his journey to democracy and really understand that the people who he has so badly offended and, you know, been a part of a terrorist campaign ought to receive the acknowledgement and apology from him and his colleagues that they deserve.
And an apology, just to be clear, an apology from Martin McGuinness would really help people like you. You know, your 12-year-old son was killed. My goodness, every parent must be able to identify with the enduring pain that you have to go through. You're saying an apology would help you to heal. It would make a difference, would it?
Absolutely. An apology and an admission of what he's been involved in would bring an enormous comfort to people that have suffered as a result. They would know his part in what was, after all, a very long terrorist campaign. And it would help to bring a healing process about for a number. I'm not saying for everybody. It may not be the same. I'm just one of many individuals involved. But the healing process is a very important process. Nothing can bring James back. That would be one wish I could never fulfill. If I could bring him back tomorrow, I would. And I can't bring him back. All I have is memories. But the fact is, the people who were involved in his murder were former colleagues of Martin McGuinness.
Well, former is the word, isn't it? And again, I repeat, your son was killed in the Omagh bomb, and Martin McGuinness has described those people as traitors to Ireland. Danny Morrison's listening to this, Victor, a former Sinn Féin publicity director. And Danny, put yourself in the place of Victor last night. He's standing outside while a former commander of the IRA's inside, sitting close to the Queen.
Yes, well, you know, it's very, very complex. And, I am sorry and apologise for the death of Victor's son, James Barker, even though I, from the point of view of 1984 onwards and perhaps earlier, I was of the view that the Republican movement, the IRA, should cease fire. But it's a very complex situation, and there are many, many relatives out there who have received no justice. Similarly, if you just go to Andersonstown, 14-year-old Julie Livingstone was shot dead by the Prince of Wales Regiment, of which the Queen is Commander-in-Chief. That family, the Livingstone family, never received justice. The killer of their sister, of their daughter, was protected by the British establishment. Similarly, if we're talking about the past, we also know that Sir John Stevens, when he carried out his collusion inquiry over a 15-year period, he was only allowed to publish 17 pages out of a 3,000-page report. So I think that the people who are involved in the dirty war, you know, substantially involves the British establishment who have been protected. But I'm not too sure if much is to be achieved by continually reverting to the past. And I think that, you know, we've all had the compromise. I don't agree with Victor Barker that, you know, more tests have to be made of the Republican leadership, because as an Irish Republican, I could easily respond similarly. I want to know who killed my friends in 1969. I want to know who's responsible for torturing my friends and my relatives in 1971 and 1972. I want to know who was responsible for assassinating my relatives throughout the 1980s, 1990s. And if we keep going back to that, I don't think we're ever going to be able to release ourselves and free ourselves from the past.
You know, there's that awful footage, Danny Morrison, on BBC One television last night of the two police officers' funerals in 1997. They were shot in Lurgan.
Yeah, I'm at a major disadvantage here in that I didn't see that programme.
Let me just give you my point, because you don't need to have seen the programme. Let me just make this point to you. So two police officers were shot dead. They were shot in the back of the head. Heartbroken children. And you know, a lot of viewers watching that would want to say to Martin McGuinness, do you really believe that was worth it? Do you really believe the IRA shooting people dead was worth it?
Well, I mean, perhaps that's a question that universally could be put about all conflicts and all wars, and that they, you know, by and large, in most modern conflicts, as the civilian population has suffered, and yet British government will still go to war in another Iraq, in another Afghanistan, even though it doesn't have the support of its public. So these things, we should try to avoid these things. We should try to learn from these things. And the fact that, you know, almost 4,000 people lost their lives here, you know, I could easily respond, but it would be, you know, had the Unionists agreed to the Good Friday Agreement at Easter 1969, would anyone have lost their lives? So there's, you know, you can always counter these situations with an argument, but it's totally to be regretted. I wish that it never started. I wish that the first shot had never been fired.
I guess it was just the timing of the Spotlight program last night. Their Spotlight being broadcast last night, these crying children at their father's funeral.
Presumably the
murders that Martin McGuinness in his time as an IRA commander, murders like that, Martin McGuinness would have said, were in some way justifiable. And, you know, there will be many people wanting to ask him while he is sitting there in the comfort of Windsor Castle, do you see the pain in that kid's face? Do you see the tears running down his cheek? Do you see that waste of life? What was it all for, Danny? What was it all for? So that Martin McGuinness can toast the Queen?
No, it wasn't for that. Martin McGuinness could toast the Queen. I mean, does Peter Robinson turn out to be an Irish Republican because he stood for the soldier song and toasted the Irish nation? I think that's, you know, I don't think you should move from a position of tragedy into sort of that type of cheap point.
Well, hold on a moment. It's not a cheap point for the people that are still grieving.
You know as well as I do how complex this conflict has been and the issues behind it. And that, you know, how far back it goes in terms of what predated the first IRA shot being fired, what happened over a period of 50 years, who were forced to live in poor housing, who hadn't got jobs, who were forced to immigrate, who weren't allowed to fly the flag, play their sports. You know, So there's a whole complex background here where people felt discriminated against, felt that they were second class. When the representatives went into the Stormont regime over a period of 50 years, they weren't able to influence one piece of legislation apart from the protection of wild fowl,
yeah.
protection of wild birds.
Danny,
that was the only piece of legislation.
I hear you saying there's a background. I hear you saying there's a complex background. And I completely acknowledge that loyalist paramilitaries were involved in similar brutality. But I'll tell you what, no matter how complex the situation is, it is simple, disgusting brutality to walk up and shoot two human beings in the back of their head. No matter what complex situation there was, it's pretty disgusting, isn't it?
And that's what happened on all sides here.
Mr. Morris,
that's what happened on all sides. And
the issue is,
unless we get to the truth, you know, we don't know. We only know slightly the involvement of official British government agencies in the assassination war and the importation of weapons that were used to kill young people and old people. For example, in Lochan Island, weapons brought in by the help of British intelligence used to kill 80-year-old man. So, you know, it's awful what has happened. And the most important thing is that we avoid it. Don't feed into it reoccurring. I mean, there are a lot of people out there in the Republican community who think that the war should go on. And they're undermining, they're out to attack Martin McGuinness. Martin McGuinness, in my opinion, is trying to do a good job. He is trying to acknowledge what happened in the past. He is trying to build relations.
Is he trying to acknowledge what happened in the past? Because that's your point this morning, Victor, isn't it? That you want him to acknowledge more about what's happened in the past.
The point I have to make to Mr. Morrison is all of this worth one single human life? The answer is that conflicts can be resolved by democratic means. There were politicians in Northern Ireland, like John Hume, that were democratically elected, doing their utmost to resolve the so-called conflict situation by proper democracy. There was no need to resort to brutality, thuggery, and murder. That's the point that I'm trying to make. And for his part in that brutality and thuggery, Martin McGuinness ought to acknowledge his involvement.
Well, Victor, Martin McGuinness did not start the conflict. And perhaps if you go back and look at the first dozen deaths here, you will find that 9-year-old Patrick Rooney was shot dead by the RUC as he lay in bed in Divis Flats. Could the family ever find out who was responsible? Because when a London policeman came over here, Sir Arthur Young, to investigate that killing, to find out who did it, he met with what he wrote in his report was a conspiracy of silence within the RUC. So the early deaths here, which provoked the later deaths, they all played a part in a chain of reaction and overreaction as well. So that is the problem here. We are caught with a historical problem. We're trying to resolve it. And understandably, people who lost their members of their family are bitter at what they see the outcome. I saw one relative outside Windsor Castle say that this, you know, this is proof that the IRA is our government. And that is not the case either. Nor is it the case that Martin McGuinness has sold out Irish republicanism, which is what some people here are saying.
Mr. Morrison, at the end of the day, not one single life is or should have been put on the line to resolve this conflict. It should have been resolved by democratic means. I agree with you thoroughly that if the state has been involved in any acts of terror, the people responsible should be singled out and prosecuted. The state is not
involved in
prosecution.
But they weren't.
But you have had a full investigation into Bloody Sunday, and quite rightly, you've had a clear and unequivocal apology from the British state about what happened on Bloody Sunday. Yet still, you and your colleagues will not accept responsibility and admit the crimes they committed. And I find that very difficult to live with. Now,
well, Victor, I do think that the IRA has admitted what it was involved in the past. On the anniversary of Bloody Friday some years ago, the IRA issued an apology to those who lost their lives in the conflict. I'm not a spokesperson for the Republican movement. I'm currently a Redder. But I deeply regret every single death that happened, and I wish it had never happened.
Well, let's look at the death of Patsy Gillespie, for example. Who was the person that ordered that, Mr. Morrison?
I have no idea.
You've no idea?
And I have no idea, no. I remember when it happened. I was in prison when it happened. And there's no way that I agree with or subscribe to that type of attack.
And we can't start making, and you'll understand why, Victor, we can't start making allegations on a live radio program.
I fully understand that. But I think these issues are the type of issues that have to be looked at. And they have to be examined and responsibility accepted for them on an individual basis to the families concerned. And I think if Mr. Morrison and his colleagues really want to say that they're embarking on a democratic journey, perhaps the widow of Patsy Gillespie might be the first person you should approach.
Is that fair, Danny?
If something can be done to help someone, if such a gesture can be made, yes, of course it's important. But a lot of people are too far alienated and have suffered too much. And some people cannot forgive either. So there's a difficulty there. The point I'm making is this: you're not going to be able to resolve the past on a piecemeal basis, because everybody that subscribed to the use of force, and that involves the IRA, the Loyalists, the British State, the RUC, the British Army, all of those people were somehow or another were involved in dirty deeds.
Yeah, no, I
hear
that.
If we want to explore that, then we have to do it across the board.
I hear that.
I hear that, Danny.
I hear that. But sometimes leadership.
Let me finish my point.
Well, very quickly, please. Just because we're running out of time.
Single protagonist or organisation, which is going to allow itself to be investigated alone, exclusively. Because implicit in that then, for that organisation and its supporters, and for what it was involved in, is that they hold the moral responsibility for all that happened, instead of for solely what they were responsible for.
Sinn Féin were very specific about an investigation into Bloody Sunday, weren't they? And the Bloody Sunday soldiers who were involved. They were able to be very specific about that, Danny.
Could you name one soldier that was involved in Bloody Sunday?
Are you telling me there's not an investigation?
Could you name one soldier? We don't know who did it. Some of the families are saying they've been satisfied with the Savile report. They want to move on.
You see, just before we run out of time, Danny, and it's the only reason why I'm stopping you, I guess sometimes leadership is about not waiting for the rest of the crowd and not waiting for what anyone else does, doing it yourself. And I guess what people like Victor Barker might mean is, you know, rather than Martin McGuinness taking whatever leadership steps, whatever optics and leadership steps that he reckons meeting the Queen entails, what about a direct message directly to the victims from Martin McGuinness? What about a message from Martin McGuinness directly to the victims of IRA violence? What about that?
Well, I've heard Martin McGuinness quite often talk about that issue and about what happened in the past.
This isn't Martin McGuinness's responsibility, but I wonder, for example, if there were any victims groups at that lovely state banquet last night. I wonder whether any of those people on either side of the community represented it.
Well, you just stated at the outset there about the Lord Mountbatten being killed by the IRA and members of his family. Martin McGuinness lost friends. I'm sure there was other people there who have lost friends either in this conflict. I'm sure there was people there who lost comrades in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I'm sure there were people there.
Final word to you, Victor. We've 60 seconds.
Frankly, Mr. Morrison, what I think, as I said to Martin McGuinness at Oxford about 3 months ago when he was being interviewed on Al Jazeera, I said he was asked 3 times if he would apologise, and his only response was, "I have always said I am prepared to apologise." He was asked to apologise by me, and he would not. He came up afterwards to shake my hand, and I said to him clearly, "Martin, I will shake your hand when you admit your responsibility for the past, you admit the things you've been involved in, and you apologise to the people that have suffered as a result." And that remains my position, and I think for someone in my particular situation, that is a fair and reasonable position to adopt.
Okay.